Coming up on today's show, I talk a little bit about my trip to the mountains of Tennessee, and we have some Disney news to cover. It's up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 430 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host. My name is John. I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
So,
yes.
How are things? Wie geht es Ihnen?
Sehr gut, sehr, John. Yeah.
So, yes, I'm back. I think we're back, right?
That's true.
After a little bit of a hiatus, we
took a week off.
Well, Thanksgiving, we were having trips and family time, and it was hard to find the time.
Correct.
Plus, you know, everybody needs a break every once in a while, even from us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could use a break from us, I'm sure.
Yeah. I could use a break from you and vice versa.
Yeah, indeed.
So we have a few things I guess we can talk about this week. My family and I, we spent not Thanksgiving, but the days leading into Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
In Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It's actually really nice seeing how they put the decorations and lights and so on and so forth in that area. I would actually like to go back for that time of year in particular. Other than it's definitely much busier than it once was, once upon a time in general.
Yeah. Doesn't everything seem busier these days than it used to? I don't know why.
I guess I find myself frequently quoting Dwight. There's too many people on this earth.
You need a new plague? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Understandable. So it was crowded.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Saturday before Thanksgiving through Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we basically traveled back to have Thanksgiving with family. And well, my mom went with us as well, actually, to Tennessee. So.
Got it.
So I found a place on Airbnb, found a condo. The name is escaping me now. Something like Mountain View Condos, I think it was up there.
There's not like 1,000 of those probably, but yeah.
Well, I mean, truthfully, as far as one that had condos that were relatively close to the main stuff, like the main strip and the main stuff, but this was actually a pretty good option when it was all said and done.
Was it Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge?
Pigeon Forge.
Okay, so Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're like really close though, right? I mean.
Yeah, they're close. Kissing cousins, so to speak.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to.
But they're definitely in the same general area. See, that was another thing. Gatlinburg, I was thinking when we're up there, we might could go head that way to see some of the stuff that's especially the decorations and stuff in the evening, but we never did quite get to there. We just did stuff close by, but.
Yeah.
Of the places that I've stayed, I would definitely look for this person for availability again instead of just searching in general just to see, just like I would our last Disney trip. I would actually look for the possibility of that one being available.
When you get a good host,
host being available. So the place where I turned in to get to where we were staying was right in between, for anyone who knows that main route there. It was basically, it was a road between Dunkin' Donuts and I forgot something else. There's like a Hollywood Wax Museum or something close to there too. So, I mean, there's all kind of stuff like that on this trip.
Yeah.
But, while we were there, we did, visit, Dolly, which I had been there a couple of times before. The last time was 3 years ago because it was one of the places you could go during COVID.
Right.
I think that was one of the things. You know, we were thinking, it's Thanksgiving week. Surely it's not going to be too bad to be there. Well, to my chagrin, Dollywood was what I come to find out later. I found a site that measures it, at least.
Correct.
They measured it at 98%.
Wow.
Capacity.
That's pretty full. Yeah.
That's what they had it measured at. And this was from, like, the moment we got there just about, you know, to the end of the evening. So
wow.
Yeah.
Does it ever get to 100% like Magic Kingdom does, and they have to
see. That's a good question. See, now, I don't know how they could fit 2% more in there personally from what I was experiencing.
Right.
But yeah, so we didn't really get to do a lot. And the original intention to see the Smoky Mountain Christmas stuff, we kind of ended up leaving a little early because of how busy it was, right?
Yes.
Like there were literally lines for everything.
Yes.
So you couldn't do much. The kids got to do a couple of the rides that were more in their range. And after that, I think they got their face painted and, you know, things like that. But
right.
Because even the kid rides had some weights. Yeah. They rode the carousel over there, which that one didn't have too bad of a weight, but it could. The weight for the train, we were actually going to ride the Dolly Express, right? Because you're thinking, oh, yeah, that would be pretty cool to do in this. The weight for that was, like, unbelievable. From where the line was, there's no telling how many trains came back and forth before that group that was at the back of it got to the front.
Wow.
And that's not a short journey. Yeah, it was pretty rough. They do have a option for, you know, fast pass, you know, what their right, version
skip
of it.
Skip the line, whatever.
Yeah, they have their own skip the line version.
Feature. Paid. Yeah. Right, of course.
Right, paid for. So basically they had, I think it was three different tiers. There was like a $60 one, $60 per person one that included like the top five or six once, something like that. And there was an $80 one that included a little more. And then there's like the unlimited version that in which it was the only tier in which you could include one ride on the newest attraction Big Bear Mountain. That allowed for one ride on it.
Interesting.
But of course, the rest of the attractions that were on it that are available for it, which are usually the coasters mainly, you could have done those as many times as you wanted to skip the line on the rest of them. The only one that was limited was the newest on that top tier.
What did those lines look like when you, like, were they super short? Did it seem like a lot of people were buying this thing, or,
you know, I didn't really get a good look at what those lines, but I don't think there was that many. There had to have at least been some there that day, because there was actually a line, like there was a place at the front of the park where you can go to buy this, right?
Right.
Or make sure it's there was actually a line for that, so I'm assuming there was at least a fairly decent percentage that was thinking they were going to need it based on the
There's no app that you can just buy it on, because like
no, you can. Yeah, right, like,
why would you stand in line for a thing to not stand in line?
See, yeah, I don't.
Anyway.
Right. I'm trying to figure out what that was all about. I was like, do you have to get a wristband? I mean, I was like, because I didn't go into it all the way. I considered buying it.
Right.
But it just wouldn't have ultimately been worth it, because it would have cost us over $400 to do the top tier for.
It's ridiculous.
For stuff that, you know, most of the, you know, not all of it, the kids our age would do, right? So unless you're literally going to do all of them, it's not really going to be worth it.
Right, the rides that are included.
Right.
But that means you just show it whenever you want, right? You're not reserving times for stuff.
Yeah, it's like the similar to the Universal one in the sense that once you have it, you have it.
Yeah,
you know,
you buy it, you pay a lot more up front, but you don't have to work like Disney's. You know,
right.
You have to work at it throughout the day.
Once you've got it, you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to skip the line. You don't have to reserve a time.
I don't know. I'm torn on this, because it's like I get the higher price point for the more convenience.
Yeah.
But it's like I know Disney's going to get to that price level at some point, because because what I think it was the highest price point over Thanksgiving since, was it like 35?
Yeah.
For Genie.
So. I think what most everyone else is trying to do is they're making it a true premium, like it's going to be. Yeah. So
I don't know if I like
that.
Therefore,
there's not going to be near as many people in the line.
The only good thing about Disney's is the fact that you can pick and choose the rides, because, and it is a lower price for the kids who aren't going to ride the more intense stuff, even though Disney doesn't have nearly as many of those as Dollywood or Right. Really universal, I guess, too, to some degree. But anyway, I still like it better, but maybe it's just because I'm used to the.
Well, you've never really used the alternative at this thus far.
Yeah, but I just don't like the idea of paying that much for kids who aren't going to do it. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that was the reason why it wasn't justifiable.
Yeah. Right, right. But then you had to wait in these long lines if you were going to do anything. So what is your option?
Yeah. So, ultimately, we still had as good of a time as we possibly could. I mean, the weather was pretty good that day. I mean, it wasn't too cold. So really the next day that we spent there, we had probably our most fun. So we went to the island. I don't know if you've heard of the island in Pigeon Forge, just like an area that has some shopping and some things to do.
Okay.
This also is the area which the hotel that's literally right there among it is the Margaritaville in Pigeon Forge. Okay. That would be worth looking into in the future as well because of the location to this and everything else. But one of the things I wanted to get to that's over there that we did, which was interesting when I first saw it, when I walked up to it, I didn't even know it was there, was Skyview Soar America.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, you're telling us about this. Okay.
Yeah, so I walk up there and see this. So, and I'm looking at the outside and I'm like, well, it looks like Soarin'. Pretty much. And I was like, I got to see what this is all about and see if how it compares and everything, though, right?
Uh-huh.
So when we go inside, you know, of course, you're paying tickets. Now, some people may or may not say this is worth it. I didn't think it was all that bad, personally, but it was something like $22, $23 per adult for the experience, right? And then kids were something like, like 16 or something like that, 16, 17. And I think, or maybe a senior was 17 and the kids were a little bit less than that. Either way,
yeah,
there was a lower price.
Okay.
One thing about this too, I didn't even realize that it had a height, not just a minimum, but it also had a maximum. I didn't even pay attention to the maximum part. I must have missed that, but I found this out afterwards. Maximum height, something like 74 inches too. So.
Okay. So not much taller than me.
Well, I mean, let's see.
Are you?
Yeah.
And you're close to the maximum, right?
Yeah, it was something like that, 74, 75. Yeah. I have to go back and look, but it had a maximum, so like no NBA players are going to be riding this.
Huh, okay.
So we go in, the queue kind of reminds me like something I would see at Disney, or kind of reminds me of, parts of it actually kind of reminds me of Soarin' because it has that sort of hallway where you had to go up instead of down in this case. And then it has like a pre-show. There's one thing that's a little different. As a pre-show, like you're in on a little train first to get to your next destination.
Okay.
It's presented as like this, this man who's like a scientist who's created this machine, and he's actually in like the 1800s or something.
Okay. Flying machine.
Yeah. But when we get in there, cause it's like a time machine. So the screen, you know how like in Soarin' it's totally blank, right?
Yeah, when you start. When you're loading.
This actually has it's almost like a starting screen, right? So it has like gears and stuff on it and everything.
Okay.
That's moving, you know, it's part of this is supposed to be the illusion is this is the room that you're going into that you're starting from. So when you look at the seats, it's just like Soarin', except for... The difference is the roof over this is a little closer to me. That might be because of the height thing that they were talking about.
Yeah.
But this also, it had a lot more effects when they actually worked.
Oh, like smell or?
Well, both.
Whatever.
It was like a combination of Soarin' and Flight of Passage, which the person at the ticket booth told me that was created by the same people that worked on those.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Right. I haven't really looked into the background as to whether who Disney consulted for those attractions, but that was what they said. So I'm just taking their word for it at this point because it did remind me of them.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures and video of it.
Right. So there was even a point where there was like a whale that jumped out of the water that made me think reminded me exactly of
like a jump scare kind of.
Well, it reminded me exactly of Flight of Passage, right? That one scene.
Mm-hmm.
But you could tell it was a combination of real life footage, CGI.
Right. Yeah.
So, but I mean, things like this, like when you got to the water, like Niagara Falls or something, that the spray was well timed, it actually, like, you know,
Is it similar?
It's the thing is, like, the device has literally sprayed you longer, I guess. Like, if it was, than you've noticed in anything else. It was like an updated version.
Yeah.
A more modern version of Soarin', right?
Sure.
So it's going to these different places all across America. And oddly, I guess they call it Soarin' America, like the Americas, because they do go to British Columbia on the, as far as the listed places they go to. Okay. So I guess that technically is America.
Right. North America.
North America, right.
I guess.
They go to Tennessee in it.
Yeah.
So it goes to Bristol Motor Speedway, right? I can see it from the thing. And the neat part is they actually soar down, like you go, it goes like where you're facing the oncoming cars on the track.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. But what's interesting, I was talking about, like, they have smells, right? You smell tires.
Like
when
rubber.
You have the smell like you would smell at a racetrack thing they included in this.
Okay.
So when it was all said and done, I actually thought it was a better version of Soarin' than the current Soarin'. I don't know about the original, but I thought it was better than the current Soarin'.
Yeah.
When it was all said and done. Now, the only thing different is there, of course, you're having to pay for one attraction. Of course, it's the only one there, so it doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so what, paying about $100 for your family to do
yeah,
this?
Yeah, a little over that. And then if you wanted to re-ride that same day, you could do it for like $10 a piece or something like that.
Okay. So for $50, yeah. You can go back.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. It still seems like a lot. Is it like a 5-minute, like Soarin', is it 5 minutes?
The total.
A little longer?
I forgot. I think the total, if you count the pre-show and everything, total it's all like 20 something minutes, but I think the actual film itself
right,
was like
itself.
Six.
Huh.
But whenever we got off of it, I was like, that was very enjoyable. I would do that again.
Ah.
Type thing. Sorry. So, I mean, you know, it's only been there a couple of years.
Yeah. From what, it looks pretty new.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cool, but it does seem like a lot to pay for that. But I mean, I guess if you're there, why not? I mean, you're paying for the ticket to get into Epcot, which is more than that, but...
Yeah. And, of course, over there at the island, they have the giant Ferris wheel, which, you know, you can get in that. The funny thing there is that giant Ferris wheel there, the cars that you get into, it's literally a Skyliner. I mean, that's exactly what it looks like.
Really?
Doors open the same way and everything, pretty much. So, like, we just basically rode in a Skyliner that just, well, only went in circles.
Ugh.
But yeah, it's a huge one. You can see for a good ways when you're up there. Yeah. Like, we bought a band for riding the stuff that they have there. So they have some, you know, your typical...
A band?
There's a ticket booth. There's other stuff you could do there for that.
I see.
The Sky View is not included in that, but there's like a band where you can do, like, it included the Ferris wheel or the giant wheel, and then some other things like a little roller coaster or a scrambler type thing, or, you know, so all that kind of stuff that the kids really actually enjoyed doing. The thing is, with the band, you could just go in there and do those things over and over again.
Okay.
And it actually included, it was like a 48-hour band to buy it, that particular one. It was like $40. So basically for $40, one person could do all those little attractions for 48 hours. As many times as they wanted to. And it's not... I know you say 2 days, but it's actually, when they say 48 hours, that's what they literally mean, because whatever moment you bought it.
48 hours from that point.
48 hours from that point, yep.
Interesting.
So, not just good for the next day. So
I see. Interesting.
Because I looked, it had a time on it, right? And we didn't end up going back the next time, but it had a time on it. So we bought this on a Monday, and so the time on it was something like 2:35 on Wednesday was when it expired, something like that. Yeah. But that was good. And we ate at Paula Deen's place that was right there. She has a place at the island.
Yeah.
That was there. That was really good. Yeah. It's kind of family style in the sense that you pick between one and I think it's four different dishes. And then you choose the sides and just basically whatever ones you choose, like everybody gets to eat off of pretty much.
So it's like Woody's Roundup Rodeo Barbecue?
I guess, because, like, you had an option of the main entree. You had the choices between stuff like, what was it, like, fried chicken, chicken and dumplings, meatloaf, barbecue. Like, you could, like, if you wanted to do, like, you had different pricings for if you wanted one of those, two of those, three of those, you know what I mean? Two different ones.
And then sides.
Yeah. Well, then you chose the sides. Yeah. So, yeah it's sort of like
that.
It
was kind of like a roundup rodeo. Okay.
But they would bring you as much of anything if you ever wanted more. They would bring you more.
Right.
And at the end, you also get dessert included in that. Interesting. So. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was, of course, good, as you would expect or think.
Southern food, yeah.
Yep. So let's see. The other place that we had went to eat was a breakfast / like a brunch place that's there. It's actually, if anyone knows from over there at all, it's the Comedy Barn. It's there. Yeah. So right next to it is this restaurant that I don't really know how long it's been there. I think it's only been there since like maybe about 17, 18. But it's called Frizzle Chicken Cafe. You ever heard of it?
Just looking at it now.
Okay. So it's okay. It's got animatronic chickens in there.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah. It was actually very cute. It was very entertaining. Yes.
Okay.
They're only open from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., so you can order breakfast or lunch really there that whole time. Yeah.
That's bizarre looking.
It is, but it's really neat. I mean, it's something if you have kids, they would enjoy the show, because every 20, 30 minutes, they start singing. So.
Okay.
The first song we got was Sweet Caroline. I think they did Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. I think they did Bohemian Rhapsody while we were there.
Ish.
I mean, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had the chicken and waffles.
Why not?
Why not?
Is it weird eating chicken in front of chicken? I don't know.
I knew you were going to say that. No, yeah, I've done stuff like that before. But, well, why not? At Coral Reef, I eat seafood in front of seafood.
That's true.
In front of fish.
That's true.
I got no problem
doing that. Used to that.
I'm used to being sadistic.
I'm eating your friends.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
The condo has an indoor pool. And the kids wanted to go to the pool badly. So we went in there. Although, when I got in there, I was like, this doesn't feel all that warm in the room. Then I put my foot in the water, and the water was not temperature controlled. It was just in the building, basically. Huh. So I'm like, it was freezing to me.
Oh, well.
We basically ended up going from there. Like, outside, they have a hot tub. So we ended up going, like, back and forth. Like going and getting in the hot tub
to warm up.
But yeah, it didn't last very long because that got old fast.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good time had overall. Of course, you know, I actually enjoy the drive, because we didn't go through Atlanta. I purposefully took non-interstate all the way there. We went up like 411 that goes through Carrollton and all that way.
Carrollton's a beautiful city, actually.
Yeah. You know, it seems like these days, I even hate the drive down to Disney, because it seems like there's always a slowdown. People don't know how to drive. People are always getting involved in something.
Yeah.
So I was like, and it feels that way when you're going in and around Atlanta as well. So if I don't have to, I really don't want to. That's just the way I am now. But that particular drive to get there, I'm kind of glad I took it, because it was a much more pleasant drive. Because you get to see the areas on the way up there, like, you know, you see a little bit of Blue Ridge, and then when you get, I mean, it's more scenic of a drive. Yeah, so I would definitely take that way, even though it takes a little longer to get there. I don't mind that. It was shorter distance overall. But anyway, without trying to spend too terribly much time on this, I know I spent a lot as it was. It was a good trip overall. I like going to the area, so just being there, you know.
Yeah, it's a good spot to go to.
Mountaineer.
There's a lot to do there, so you could go there a dozen times and not do everything. That's for sure.
I think the next time that I go back to there, though, it'll be when it's a little warmer and maybe involve Splash Country as well, with Dolly stuff.
Right, so, in the summertime. Makes sense.
Maybe. But, you know, it is some of the... So the thing is, I know I said coasters that were for older, but there's still... Most of those are still geared toward family, because there's not that many that even have inversions, kind of like Disney. You know, Disney only has the one that has an inversion still.
Right. Yeah.
So, anyway, that was the I know it always goes a little long, but that was kind of the short version of that, so we can move along.
And we will be right back.
Ah, teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
And now, back to the show.
Now we go back to the, I know what our show is, all of our travels, but mostly Disney. So going back into Disney mode, which yeah. While I was in the mountains, my brother was actually in Disney.
Right.
He never did say whether he was going to come do a trip report or not. He never did answer. So I know they did the Christmas party.
Okay. Jason should be doing it next week. We'll see if he will talk to us about that too. We shall see, but
we shall see what happens.
But yeah, he's doing that and Jollywood, so let's see if we get some intel on that. Did they do Genie while over there? I was gonna ask, do you know?
You know what, I think they used it some much. But not that much. Yeah,
because that was the highest price point. I was trying to recall what the previous one was. I thought it had hit 35 before, but maybe it was only
I know there was one day they used it. For sure. Yeah. It was one day that they hopped. They didn't even go to the studios while they were there. They just did Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, and Epcot.
Right, okay.
Now, of course, they split their stay between... They stayed DVC. They did, I think, they rented points.
Yeah.
So they got a couple of nights, I think, at Animal Kingdom Lodge and then at Jumbo House. He originally thought it was Kidani, but it was actually Jumbo House.
Yeah.
And then they also had Baylak Tower. So that was the two that they did.
Okay. Well, it's nice if you're doing Christmas party, you're staying at Baylak Tower. That's the best because you walk right back.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It was one time I say Contemporary, it was the best ever to walk back from that.
Right.
After midnight with the tired kids. Yeah. It's the best. Anyway. Yeah, I was looking really quick to see what Genie Plus price point was.
Today.
Well, it hit 35 was the high. Yeah, it went way back down. I can't see what today. Apparently, Magic Kingdom sold out today. 22 for Hollywood Studios, so it didn't. The price has dropped because the crowds have. But I expect Christmas to probably surpass 35. What do you think? I mean, we thought 50 might be possible, but I don't think it'll hit 50. We might get to like 40, 37. I don't know.
Sounds like we're holding an auction.
Yes.
Do I hear 35?
Maybe just 35 will be it for this year. But, I mean, there will be a day when it's 50, but hopefully not in the next year or two. Anyway. Oh, so the World Celebration's opening December 5th. So our very own Jason will be there. He might get to touch Walt, I don't know, on his birthday.
Okay.
It's kind of weird to say, but there's the Dreamer's Point statue, which leads me to that point I was saying pre-show, which is I hope they make this a photo pass area versus free-for-all because guests are going to do unspeakable things to Walt, unfortunately, because it's 2023 and we live on TikTok and
there's
social media.
I feel like there's got to be a cast member like posted. Or a sign.
I would hope, because you know people are going to do stupid crap to this statue, and I really hate to say
if they're not assigned.
Yes. Someone's going to, like, climb on the back of him, and, you know, that's the mild stuff.
They're going to have a security camera on Walt.
I mean, I'm sure they do, and whoever, like, does, you know, something lewd or obscene is going to be banned, probably, but still, it's going to happen, which... This is the week for that, apparently. But stories like that keep happening, and they're just going to keep happening because people are stupid and they want attention.
Pretty much.
So, on social media.
Since you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's a good segue.
Yeah, so there was a gentleman, shall we say, I don't know.
He's gentleman. No gentleman.
Yeah, he's no gentleman at all. Just search Smallwood Streaker, I guess. Small World Streaker.
Small World.
Could
be. Could be. I mean, it's from what I've heard.
Small World, not Smallwood.
Yeah, from what I've heard. But anyway.
I have no idea, though.
Yeah. There's video out there, I'm sure, if you want to check it out. But there's lots of
video. But anyhow, it's social media. There was video of him from inside the ride. And then there was also
at Disneyland. Did we mention it?
Yeah, because nothing like this would ever happen in Florida.
But this did happen in Disneyland.
This particular incident was in Anaheim. 26-year-old man was arrested for stripping nude on Disneyland's It's a Small World. You can insert whatever jokes you want to here.
Yeah.
Man was arrested for indecent exposure and being under the influence of a controlled substance.
Yeah, no kidding.
That been revealed what that substance was, but yeah.
It was definitely something because he was very unresponsive to all the people, like, trying to tell him to stop moving and don't go anywhere and that kind of stuff. You see some of the videos. He was clearly out of it. And then, of course, ended up being completely naked at one point. Most of the videos, he's, like, at least in his underwear, but at the same time, it's pretty bad. Either way, stupid. Like, why? Trying to think of all the things recently. This is probably the dumbest in the last several years.
I'm going to say, there used to be a whole joke about, what was it, Florida Man?
Right. Florida Man visited California, apparently.
Right.
This.
So, we're going to have to start doing this for, say, Disney guest or something.
Yeah.
They're going to have a special category.
Yeah. The only one that I can think of that tops that guy is the Disneyland Paris one, where the guy was on LSD and he stripped naked he started by swimming in Rivers of America and then ended up being arrested running naked through a neighborhood nearby. He's like, remember that story? Anyway,
I do remember
many years ago.
Yes. So there may have been some LSD involved in this gentleman here.
Possibly. Something hallucinogen.
It's not the same guy, is it? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he would have been really young because this was several years ago, the Disneyland Paris one. But anyway.
Well, that many years. It has been since we've been doing this podcast, and that was only been 6 years, right?
Okay, maybe. I have to look that one up.
Anyway, a Disneyland representative, I'm reading this particular excerpt. I'm taking these particular excerpts from People. That the man got off the attraction while it was in motion, which we've seen a few times, and the park operator stopped the ride when they became aware of the situation. Disneyland did not immediately respond to People's request for comment, but of course there was footage shared on social media of him being fully nude, as we just said.
Yeah.
That was the ones with the fully nude weren't, that I saw anyway, were not in the attraction, not on the inside part anyway.
Yeah, he was kind of outside walking around where the queue area is, whatever.
Wanted to make sure as many people saw him on display as possible, I guess. I don't know why he did that. But
I saw the video of them dragging him out of there. They threw a blanket over him as they were carrying him out of the park or whatever. Through that gate that's I guess where the parade comes through. And they were dragging him out of there. Anyway.
Well, it looked like he was when he was inside the attraction, it looked like he was wearing his boxers or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people begging him to
stop.
Yeah, stop what you're doing.
Stop moving.
You want to break the props and stuff like that.
Right, he touched several of the animatronics.
Right.
So who knows? Yeah, could have easily broken something.
So what we're really hearing here is a nude man touching children. Okay.
Well.
Animatronic.
Animatronic ones, yeah. But yeah, he did. So.
Just this stuff that comes up now. I'm beginning to wonder. It makes me question. I was like, surely this is stuff that's just happening for the first time. It's not just because of our awareness of more through social media in this case.
Maybe.
I mean, this was regular media that caught onto this.
Well, when it's something this crazy, it gets everybody's attention. I don't know.
It makes me wonder, though, maybe back in the day, like when something like this happened, if the mainstream media didn't get a hold of it, you didn't know about it unless you were just there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it was not as easy to share. You know, everybody has a phone now, so there's dozens of videos of this guy.
Oh, like everything's documented.
Yeah. Everybody can just pull out their phone and, yeah.
Yeah.
Get it on. Craziness, but yeah.
So that's our, there's nothing else going on in Anaheim that's newsworthy at the moment, I don't think, since we're there.
Right.
Okay.
But something from Anaheim moved to Florida, or got duplicated in Florida, and it opened this week. There's your segue.
Is that the segue you want to use?
Yeah.
So, as of the day that we're talking about this, right? This is fresh. Yeah. This is brand new.
Yeah.
It started gaining buzz on social media.
Yeah.
I didn't even think this was planned for today, was it? Like, it just kind of leaked.
Actually, I think the date actually was.
Was it?
I think they said November 30th. Of course, okay. I just gave it away, but.
Either way.
I think they did. It just sort of got, you know, nobody remembered it. It kind of got pushed to the side for a while.
It snuck up on us. But the Hatbox Ghost has made his debut.
Yes.
At Haunted Mansion in Walt Disney World. Next to the Endless Hallway, which people were complaining about that initially and everything. So I'm sure several people showed up, though, to meet him just the same.
Of course, Jared Leto.
Yeah, of course, I did see a video
running
there, which he looks exactly the same. Just he's in Florida now. So,
yeah.
It's nice that he's there. We'll just say that.
Yeah, it looks cool. It's just, you know, it's a very short theme there. You kind of, does it take away from the Endless Hallway effect at all? Because it's like,
the focus is shifted.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you got to watch that now. Right next to that really cool illusion.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably not for me, because I've always tried to look down there to see what I can figure out no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those that just a gift that keeps on giving, because you never really see everything. You never really, because you're always looking to try and figure out the illusion.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You're trying to see a glimpse into you know it's an illusion, and if the lights are on, you definitely see it. But what I mean is you're trying to get a glimpse into it because it looks so interesting.
Right. But now you got to look over here at Hattie.
Hattie.
Hatbox Ghost.
His name is Hattie?
That's why I call him.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, cool. I mean, what else is there to say about it, right? He's here?
He's back. Well, he's here now.
And so he's not back. He's never right.
Just in time for Halloween. Oh, wait. Month too late.
Just in time for you to watch it on Disney Plus. Oh, yeah. Wait.
I was about to say, just in time for Haunted Mansion to be released on in theater, so.
Nope, not at all.
Perfect timing.
However, there was something released in theaters.
Yeah. Wish.
Did
you see it?
Appointment. I have not.
My kids saw it. I did not. They weren't that impressed. They said it was pretty good, but not great.
See, I don't think there's a lot of anticipation for this one, which is another reason why. I mean, I think people are very selective in this day and age. With what they're willing to go spend, good Lord, $150, maybe even $200 in some cases, depending on how big your family is.
Yeah.
Go see a film, you know?
Yeah.
I think people are going to be more choosy about what they go to see. You know, another thing that I think happens nowadays?
What?
Advertisement. See, back when we were, before we had the many different devices in which we view entertainment now, you have options in today's world in which you can bypass ads by paying.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do that with TV back in the day.
Right.
You were always at some point going to catch a glimpse of a commercial or an ad for something.
Yeah. Or a movie coming out.
You don't necessarily get nowadays. Unless Disney needs to start spending more time and getting themselves into these ads. If someone's watching like an ad version of YouTube or Netflix or whatever, they need to probably spend more money in that department for these type films, and it might work. But one of the things you used to have back in the day is, you know, you'd have the initial commercials that come out. Some of them you couldn't escape for films that were being released.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, if they
gained any traction, right, whether it be critical acclaim or it had a good weekend or whatever, they would have these follow-up commercials, you know, telling you go see the film that everybody's talking about.
Right.
You would see these follow-up. I don't see anything like that. That, like, you know what I mean, for any of these releases that they have,
right,
or they've had in recent.
Good point. Yeah.
I think how it's marketed is part of it, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of the stories just haven't been there. To me, the exceptions which gained traction after the fact, and I talked about them more recently,
yeah,
was Elemental.
Right.
And Little Mermaid, the live-action Little Mermaid. Both of those did better as time went on, and even better on Disney Plus. I don't know that that's going to be the same case with Wish. I think they'll probably, it might get an initial boost when it goes to Disney Plus because people will be curious.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be sustained. I don't think it's going to be watched a lot of times.
A lot of the criticism I've heard too is it's the storyline has a lot of other Disney movies. It basically just copies the,
like, they got lazy.
It's like they call it a nod to these other films, but it's like kind of just copying it. Is what I've heard. That's kind of what my kids said too. It's got a 50% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, but 81% audience score, which still isn't great, but it's not bad. So I don't know. It's just okay. It's what I can gather. It's not like a classic.
What you got?
An instant classic or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really see it gaining very much traction.
Yeah, some people also criticize the animation style because it looks like kind of a mix between it kind of looks a little bit like a hand-drawn, but not like a hybrid between hand-drawn and the new more digital looking, which I think it looks kind of cool, actually. I think it looks great, but I've heard people complain about that or criticize that, but
right. Yeah, and so another thing that just recently happened,
yeah,
was the town hall, as you want to call it, right? Oh, really? And they described it was kind of like a town hall,
sure,
in which Bob Iger addressed some things. I found it interesting the discussion. What was it regarding sequels? Right.
Right.
So, it was particularly talking about Marvel at the time.
Right.
So, let's see. His words here in this particular, he says, the experience of accessing the films and watching them in the home is better than it ever was.
Sure.
And it's a bargain when you think about it. Streaming Disney Plus, you can get it for $7 a month. I don't know where he's getting that. Is there a version of $7 a month right now? I must have missed that one.
Probably bundled with something. Yeah, probably.
That's probably the bare minimum that includes ads.
Probably what it is. Yeah, I think that's the lowest.
That's a lot cheaper than taking your whole family to a film. Well, that's no question. So I think the bar is now raised in terms of quality about what gets people out of their homes into movie theaters, which is kind of like what we were just discussing.
It's very candid. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny when he was talking about the Marvel movies, and I don't know if this is like a backhanded jab at Chapek, but he says the Marvels were shot during COVID. He said there wasn't as much supervision on the set, so to speak, where we have executives that are really looking over what's being done after day after day after day.
Is more executives on set a good thing for storytelling, though?
I don't know.
Not sure. Let's.
I have felt for a long time, not just around that time period that he's talking about. Now, of course, they make money with the fan base of the Marvels, usually, for the Marvel films. I thought there were way too many Marvel films for me personally.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm not a Marvel. Saturation. Yeah, it's definitely saturated. What I thought was interesting is he did talk at some point about sequels, right? About how they need to like dial it back on the sequels. Yeah. Like, what was it? What was one of the first things they said they were going to be doing?
Toy Story 4 and Toy Story 5, and Frozen. 5, 6, yeah.
And Frozen.
Frozen.
And I'm like, seriously, guys?
Well, it's Toy Story 5 and then Frozen 4,
three, yeah, and 4. 3 and 4? Yeah, 3 and whatever. 4 or something like that.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, you're all really dialing it back.
He announced Frozen 4 before 3 even is started. I'm like, okay. I don't know how they're going
to
do that.
It's hard for us, though, to... Like, we criticize the fact that they keep spitting out these sequels and remakes and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're also criticizing something like Wish.
Yeah.
That's original. Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
The sort of original.
Yeah. He's right, though. I don't want to go see movies in theaters that much anymore. I mean, very few things will get me to do that.
Exactly.
I am very selective.
With the introduction or what we've gotten used to streaming-wise, I don't even want to get up and put a DVD in the DVD player.
It's true.
I mean, much less go to get in the car and drive to the movie theater.
Right. Right. I can't.
You know what I mean?
I can't remember the last time I've turned my Blu-ray player on.
Yeah.
It's been over a year since I've watched anything on that.
The one good thing about the Blu-ray or the DVDs is there's a couple of things that if you want to see it in its original format, you kind of have to go to that.
Right.
Because they've made whatever format, you know, on streaming that they've decided to change for various reasons.
It used to be, you know, the audio commentaries and the behind the scenes stuff, deleted scenes was like some of the best things about having a DVD or Blu-ray copy of something. But
they could include that stuff in a streaming, like if you're going to purchase a movie on streaming, they could still include, you know, an audio track with it, right? Yeah. They still include a commentary track, but they don't.
Yeah, I feel like they should add that as a, I would pay like $2 sometime, whatever, depending extra on what it is. If I heard like, you know, behind the scenes thing, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's ways they could monetize streaming better without just raising the price every few months on the monthly fee or whatever.
Right.
Because like, video games now, the entry price of a video game is much lower than it used to be for mobile games and stuff. But the micro transactions are billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you get into something and you're like, oh, I'll pay a little to do this, pay a little to do that. They could totally do that with streaming if they wanted to. But anyway.
That's another thing, the games. Games don't even need, like, you don't even need a cartridge for even large games anymore.
But every game has downloadable content now.
Yeah.
Or extra stuff for
a price. For
right.
A premium. Yeah.
Exactly.
They make the games they're not just a one purchase and that's all you make off of it. You continue to make money off the same game.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. When we were kids, it was you bought this cartridge and that's it. There's nothing else to it.
If it were NES, you bought like $20 game. And then that was when you beat it, it was over unless they made a sequel to it or something.
Right. And you had to beat it in one sitting. That was the other thing.
Right.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, but, you know, you always, those games were, with the exception of a couple, some of them were pretty long. But they were a reasonable length that if you had to do it without saving, you could, like Mario.
Yeah, first one. Of course, you learn over time, you could do it in like 8 minutes or something, but still.
Some people can.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Or less.
But, you know, now there's games that are like 60 to 80 hours that, you know, take forever to beat, but you can also buy all kinds of extra stuff for it and whatever, Anyway.
I mean, one of the longest ones we first got introduced to back in the day was probably something like, GoldenEye or something? Of course, that had saves, but it was still, that was one of the longest ones that we got into back at that time period.
Yeah. Yes, but it had repeatability because of the multiplayer, you know.
Yes, well, I had that, but I'm talking about even just
the story.
The missions took a pretty significant number of hours total.
Well, there was all these unlockables, too. That was the other thing. But anyway, why are we talking about this? I don't remember how we got on this.
How did we get back to this? I don't know. Had something to do with movies, and then, it just went down a rabbit trail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Back in the day, you couldn't watch a movie unless it was on TV, and that would be like 2 years later, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the VHS, yeah.
to rent or purchase.
Right, you could rent, but really if it was a big enough movie, you'd go see it. It was like something you did. But
see, I remember the release dates for like a summer release, though.
Yeah.
Even on VHS being like November.
You know what I mean?
Right. For like a, if the movie came out at the beginning of the summer, like a May or a June, the video did not come out until
right before Christmas, right?
Until November. So you're yeah. talking 5 months later or so.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Versus now on streaming 2 to 3 months in some cases.
Right. People, it's like, why would I pay $100 to take my family to see this when I can just watch it at home in a few months?
For something I'm already paying for in some cases.
Yeah.
If it's like, if it's something that's coming to a Peacock and you already purchased
yeah.
it. You're
or Netflix or whatever, it. Yeah.
Right. Or Disney Plus in this case. Yeah. And it's, yeah, it's already included. No extra.
Yeah, it's like, why would I go out of my way to go see this? I guess movies don't have that appeal of being the first to see the thing anymore as much as other things.
I think the timing of the release is very important, more so now than ever.
Yeah.
I feel like families are more likely to, if they're going to go,
yeah,
it's more likely going to be at some time during the summer because the kids are out and they're going to be taking them to have something to do to go as a family.
Yeah.
It's going to be the majority where you're going to get your biggest pushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Hollywood go through this in the 50s when TVs first started coming out? And they were like, oh, that's when the epics started coming out, the epic films, where they were like, well, you're not going to enjoy this on a tiny TV screen. You got to come to the movies to see this giant production that we made, you know.
In the age of projector televisions and...
Yeah, right, exactly.
And 80-inch screens.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
People can do that at home.
You create your own, truly your own theater experience at home if you want to.
Right. You can. A lot of people do. So it's like, what does a movie theater offer me that's better than watching it at home? I don't know.
Tell you what, when we saw the Mario film back in the spring, we went and saw it in the Big D. You know what I'm talking about?
I need to.
No, well, that's what they call in the theaters, what's the name of the theaters now? What do they call it? The AMC theaters,
I think. The AMC. Mm.
Yeah, they have, some of their theaters have something, they have like a big, they call it the Big D.
Digital.
Anyway, it's just like a bigger screen.
Yeah.
More comfortable seats.
IMAXs.
Those sort of things.
Yeah. And, you know, and like, I go to the theater that, well, you can get food, but again, it's like, the food's not great. And it's like you're just eating chicken fingers while watching a movie in a comfortable chair. But it's like, I can do that at home too.
Yeah.
So
I can DoorDash this
for a lot cheaper.
Well, I don't know about a lot cheaper if it's DoorDashing.
Well, no, but I could go to the drive-thru and...
yeah.
But yes, I don't have to leave home. It'd be the same price food-wise, but the movie would be cheaper. Anyway, I don't know why we're still on this, but...
Well, because this was one of the things that Bob Iger discussed.
Yeah. It's definitely a problem. I mean, I don't think even the best movies this year probably made as much money as they would have a few years ago, before COVID especially. But I think COVID made everybody go, I can do all this stuff at home. I don't need to go out.
Right.
And the movie is not really a destination as much anymore. I think people would rather go to a restaurant these days. So,
very good possibility.
I feel like more people would rather eat out than go to a movie, even if you can eat at the movie theater.
Yeah, so to kind of wrap this up and wrap up the episode as well.
Yeah.
You know, get down to the other things he discussed there.
Yes.
They announced that cash dividends
are
coming back after nearly a 4-year pause.
Yeah, first time in forever.
Yeah. So they're getting that back. The last dividend on record was 88 cents per share.
Wow.
They announced that it's going to be 30 cents per share in respect of the second half of the fiscal year of 2023, payable January 10th, 2024, to shareholders of record at the close of business December 11th, 2023. So they've made progress. They're bringing that part back. It's making the stock more appealing, obviously. I think people had already gotten wind or had the feeling, much like myself, that this was coming sooner. And they did say beginning of the year already, but with all the other directions of things, they felt like Disney was a buy. I know I put them in the buy category again. As long as things continue to go the direction that they're currently going, it's going to continue to be one.
Yeah.
But who knows? They were actually a pretty profitable stock-wise during COVID. It was not until after, really, that it kind of became more of an issue. Not it was a hard sell, we'll put it that way.
Right.
For people. Yeah,
and actually, for most of Chapek's reign, it was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Till the end, as far as stock price goes.
Yeah. And one of the highlights of this was that, according to Iger, he will definitely step down at the end of this contract. That's the way you put it, definitely. At the end of his 2026 contract. He said that he did a post-mortem to determine what went wrong with the succession planning that led to Chapek, and said that there were some things that the board discovered, but that there were some unknowables.
Sure.
And he noted that while he was retired, he was disappointed in what he was seeing under Chapek's reign, but that he tried to distance himself from the company because it wasn't his to run anymore. I don't know how much of this that I necessarily believe, per se. I'm not even sure if I believe that definitely stepping down. We'll see when we get there.
I mean, how many times has he said he's stepping down and then he's didn't, or he comes back, so.
Or they wouldn't let him in
he's
some
like
case.
A bad penny. He always turns up. Yeah.
2026, that's not that far away.
Speaking of Indiana Jones, are you going to watch it as you're listening to this? It's already out on Disney Plus, but what do you think? I'm going to watch it again.
Well, I think that...
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a watch because I didn't the first time around, obviously.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it again. I won't say any more, but yeah, I'll give it another watch.
We have to do it just to review it. Right.
Should I say this? I don't know. The first like 30 minutes are good. It makes you feel like,
and that's it.
Listen, I don't want to I don't know how to say it without giving anything away.
Too much away.
It gives you like the old feel a little bit. The beginning.
I see.
It
so
gives you a good. But then it kind of
even Crystal Skull did that for 30 minutes. I mean, come on.
The first 30 things, the refrigerator and all that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I gotta watch Crystal Skull.
To me, the refrigerator just went along with the whole unbelievable stuff that happens in Indiana Jones films. I didn't think anything too much about
that. So the supernatural part of this movie is definitely different than the others. It's not as bad as Aliens, but it definitely is like, okay, there's all kinds of supernatural stuff that happens in Indiana Jones movies, so you just go with it, but it's definitely different.
I was going to say...
Put it that way.
So an arc that can kill you.
Right. I mean, you know...
Voodoo.
We're pulling people's hearts out. I mean, you know, I mean, there's definitely...
Yeah,
nothing at all. Unbelievable, weird stuff. A giant bucket that flows through a tunnel of, you know...
Because prior to now, all of Indiana Jones' stunts were completely believable.
Oh, yeah. Right. Cutting a bridge in half and, you know...
Yeah, not
a
dying.
Real bridge. Right, yeah, none of that. It was all completely true. All of it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Lots of Wilhelm screams. Anyway.
Sorry, we're talking. I'll have to give it a look and give you my...
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, maybe.
Opinion. Yeah, hopefully next week. So, I think we've talked enough this week.
Oh, wait.
Hopefully you got something valuable out of it. And you can find us on Facebook X and... Instagram, X marks the spot. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We also have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. I'm actually wearing one right now that I was giving a try.
Yeah, dude.
We have a YouTube channel. Where else? Where can you find that and the rest, Adam?
I was going to say X never, ever marks the spot. But our spot is travelingwiththemouse.com, and you can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And we do have the travel agent friend. If you want to assist us booking your next Disney trip, you can find all that info there on our website.
So for Adam, this is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. Ten.
X marks the spot.
Dun, 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 dun.